Today's the feast of St. Patrick, so I'd like to start with that, although I think the heart of this day liturgically is these beautiful readings. But let's start with St. Patrick. Part of the reason why he is very present to my mind is because I was just in St. Paul. That's where I was staying the past couple of days, city of St. Paul in Minnesota, and there's a large population of people from Irish descent or of Irish descent who live in that city. And the Feast of St. Patrick is a day of great celebration of all things Irish. So there's a parade, there's a lot of green things, and there's a lot of drinking. So it became over the years more a celebration of Irish culture than of St. Patrick himself. So I grew up in that culture, and I happened to mention to one of my relatives that in the Philippines, there's not a great devotion to St. Patrick. And she was really surprised. I said, actually, the feast of St. Joseph comes 2 days later, and that's a much bigger feast day in the church. And she was really surprised. And she asked, well, how can that be? Like, she really didn't understand. Well, St. Joseph is a much more prominent a person in the story of salvation in the Bible. She said, sure. And I had to explain to her that St. Patrick is so significant because of his great missionary work to Ireland and then all the people who were evangelized by the Irish. But the Irish are not the ones who came and brought the faith to the Philippines. So anyway, the fact that she was very surprised that St. Patrick was not as well known as St. Joseph shows how big St. Patrick is in that town anyway, St. Paul. I don't know how they're celebrating today. I mean, we just had a huge snowstorm there and everything was shut down on Sunday and Monday, but Tuesday, who knows? Well, let's go to these beautiful readings. We have the prophecy of the abundant water flowing from the temple in the reading from Ezekiel, clearly symbolic of the abundance of grace that flows from the heart of Jesus. And then in the gospel we have the healing of the man who had been sick or paralyzed for 38 years. It's a day to ponder once more the place of water in the plan of salvation, the abundant water, the saving water. It's so prominent, in fact, that you might think, well, maybe this gospel could have been used last week when the Sunday reading was about Jesus, the source of living water. Remember in his encounter with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She came for water and discovered Jesus, who was such a great source of water that she left her own water jar at the well and went running into town to say, I found the Messiah. So that was like a water miracle. Jesus, who was thirsty, came to give more water than he came to drink. But this is the fourth week of Lent, and the Samaritan woman was the third week. So once we hit the fourth week, you probably notice that we start reading the daily Gospels from the Gospel of John. So we go back near the beginning of John's Gospel. Yesterday we read the story of the son of the royal official who was cured at a distance. And John said, well, that was the second sign. Remember, that was the end of yesterday's Gospel, the second sign. So this is the third sign. The third sign is the cure of this man at the sheep gate and the pool of Bethesda, which is another indication of water. What's this pool? It's not the pool of Siloam, which was Sunday. The blind man, Jesus sent him to the pool of Siloam, water. And John says, and that name means sent, Siloam, sent. The church, especially the fathers of the church, have always interpreted that to mean that the pool was symbolic of Jesus himself, because he's the one who sent. He's the one sent by the Father to save, to cure, to heal. So to go to the pool is to go to Jesus, and to be washed is to be baptized, washed spiritually clean. Baptism is the great water miracle that we all receive. Well, here's this, a man crippled for 38 years, who is apparently lying next to a pool, this Bethesda pool, and he never gets cured. That's a long time to wait to be cured. And there were a lot of people there waiting to be cured. Sick people. It even describes them. Ill, blind, lame, and crippled. Maybe something like, if you ever go down to PGH, there's always a long line of sick people seeking treatment there, hoping to be cured. Jesus, after encountering him and asking him if he wants to be cured, and the man doesn't say yes, he says, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." And he's immediately cured without any water. He doesn't need the water of the Bethesda pool at the sheep gate. He's a sheep. We're all sheep. But now the shepherd has arrived. He's seeking a cure. Well, now the healer has arrived. He's waiting at the water. Well, now the water has arrived. Jesus himself. So after he's cured, he doesn't need that water. So the important thing about the water symbolism is that it leads us to Jesus, the source of living water. Like the woman at the well, once she met Jesus, she didn't need water anymore. The man whose blindness was healed in the pool of Siloam, once he could see, he didn't need the pool. He was already cured. And this man, once Jesus tells him to rise, he doesn't need to be plunged into the Bethesda pool anymore. Jesus. So everything is pointing to Jesus, the Savior, the healer, the one who was sent by the Father to do this, to save us. So this is where then the liturgy leads us. Now, let's go back to St. Patrick, the real St. Patrick, not the one of cultural celebration in the States, but the real, profoundly Christian man of the 5th, 6th century, 5th century, I guess it is. He knew this source of water. In fact, he wasn't even Irish. He was British. But the water of grace, the living water that was flowing in him and overflowing in him, moved him to go back to Ireland, where he had been a slave, and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could see St. Patrick as a 5th century version of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Overflowing water from the temple. Well, Patrick was a source of overflowing grace for the pagan peoples of Ireland, and had an extraordinary effect on them. During his lifetime, there were just countless conversions and churches built and monasteries set up and dioceses. It's really remarkable how this one man was such a source of living water for the Irish people. And then the Irish, of course, they became a spring of living water for centuries to bring the faith all over the world. This is how it works. The focus is always on Jesus, not on Patrick or on us or anybody else. Jesus, the source. But once we encounter the source and we discover that this is the one who really quenches our thirst, who really heals us, who really opens our eyes, well, then we have something to share with the world. That is, we have the gospel. So let us be instruments of this process by which God wants to flood the world with his grace, with his mercy.